Leadership development exists because none of us are perfect, fully realized people. We all have room for growth in our lives, and we need help along the way. Hi, and welcome to Developing Imperfect Leaders.
Because the last time I checked, we're not Jesus.
This podcast is a project of the Leadership Development Institute at Hope Community Church, intended to help you explore and grow your leadership skills for service both inside and outside the church. I'm your host, Paul Stiver, and I'm joined by my co-host, Kaylin Larson.
Hello.
And Natty Severson.
Hello. Thank you for joining us today. And we are back with another special guest. And we're very excited to introduce to you one of our newest interns, Sammy Schwenk. And don't say your name wrong, people. She just got married. So I almost did it wrong, even though I know better. But I have to admit, I have not changed her last name in my phone. So
it's okay.
I'm very sorry. A couple of great things about CME. She is a graduate of the University of Minnesota.
All right. Let's go.
Go Gophers. Yeah. Sky Uma. Sky Uma. There
I think
was.
That's what they say there.
Yeah. Gophers.
Yep.
Raw.
There you go.
Yep, Kaylin. I'm doing this just so you feel left out. Please zoom the camera in on Kaylin's face. I didn't go there. You wanted to say it, right? You did. I knew it. It's an ongoing joke on this podcast that Kaylin is quite the contrarian and likes to point out when she did not do something. So Sammy, that's a little backstory, but this is about you, not Kaylin. So Kaylin's like, I haven't even spoken. Yes. Sammy, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself too, besides you're married and went to the U of M?
Yeah. I guess maybe it would be helpful to know what I did at the U of M. I studied kinesiology. That's what I got my degree in, which was super interesting. Really loved that. And yeah, crazy time in my life because I graduated in May of this year and then I got married in August and now I'm in this internship. So it's just been like a crazy couple of months. But yeah, I guess like a fun fact about me that not a lot of people know is that I was born without a sense of smell.
Oh, yes. This is one of my favorite facts.
And I think
about
that's
you.
My favorite thing to share about myself because it sparks some good conversation usually. But
yeah. It's amazing how much you talk about things you smell because every time Sammy is a good cook. You guys should know this. Sammy loves to cook. And every time she comes into my office and we eat lunch together once a week.
Yeah.
And every time she comes into my office, she's eating something. It smells tremendous. I'm like, oh, that smells so... I'm like, I'm sorry. You don't know how that...
It's okay.
Every time I'm like, did anyone notice it smell? Oh, gosh. Stop talking about smelling. You know?
That's okay. So, it never bothers me. Okay. It's fine.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. It's good.
So, Sammy, before we get going here, just in like, quickly, why did you decide to do the internship this year?
Yeah, I mean, similar to what I was kind of saying earlier, I feel like I was in a season of just so many transitions. And it's funny enough, I ended up working at a corporate wellness position for a month after I graduated and I got laid off after the first shift. It was just a crazy time. I was like, what is going on right now? So I got my little taste of the corporate world. But then
yeah,
truly. I think I just wasn't sure what to do. And I had considered the internship before, but I think that really gave me space to be like, okay, like, what do I actually do now? And then I ended up kind of reaching out to Natty and then feeling like it'd be actually a really great fit after getting married and in so much transition, just being so supported and able to just like learn so much and serve and just invest in the community at Hope. So I was just really excited about that.
Yeah. So you're not quite halfway through your internship. What would you say is like, are you glad?
Oh yeah. I'm so glad. I've told many people, I don't know. I just feel like it's the right spot for me to be right now. I feel so cared for and like there's so much space. I think I do have a lot to learn and a lot of room to grow. So it's just been great. And I feel like I've really been stretching myself too and taking on more ownership, which feels really nice. So
yeah, it's that time of year where now there's more autonomy, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's some things where we're like, well, now just quick write some small group material on the back half of Romans. No big deal.
Yeah.
So... Thank you for doing that. Well, we do. I know we're, we wanted to introduce Sammy, but I think a big part of my joy for this podcast is the personal banter intro. And so we have...
personal banter is the segment we're doing right now.
Segment,
no fourth wall.
Let's transition between segments now.
Personal banter.
This is why people listen to this very well-produced
it's
podcast.
All about the banter.
It's so slick. So we do a would you rather question. And of course, would you rather is you have to answer, right? You can't not answer and you can't like augment it or change it in some way. There's no negotiating in would you rather. And this is for the rest of your life. All right. So that makes it a better, it's high stakes. So I was going to make a custom one and then I found this one and I thought this is very appropriate for Sammy, who is an avid runner. Sammy has a life goal of running an ultra marathon.
I do.
So she's an avid runner, as is Kaylin. And Paul is an emerging runner, I would say. Recently ran a half.
That's a good word.
And I am a former runner.
Thanks for laughing, Kaylin. Thank you for laughing about that.
What do you call it? The doctor? Ortho? Great. Ortho Kaylin. Says no more running. So we all have a history with running or a future. Only one of us doesn't have a future, but I'm not going to say. All right. So here we go. Would you rather have to wear wet socks every day or only be allowed to wash your hair once a year?
Oh my gosh.
Yep. You have to pick one. Only can wash your hair once a year or have to wear wet socks daily for the rest of your life.
I really, really don't like the feeling of like
face right now.
Of like gross hair. Like I really don't like that. So I think I would choose to have like wrinkly toes my whole life and just wear the wet socks.
Really bad trench foot. Right.
Oh, I'd get like fungus on my toe.
Well, let's just say you wouldn't get fungus or trench foot. You would just get like you just have to experience the feeling. So,
I think I'd get used to it. My vote is I'd rather wear wet socks.
Okay. All right, Kaylin.
I despise wet things on my feet.
I could see this coming a mile away.
I do not like wet grass. I do not like wet socks. I do not like when children lick my feet. Like, I can't do it. I can't. I would choose the hair and just do dreads.
You've got the hair for it.
So,
yeah, you can do dreads.
I just,
I think you should just do dreads.
Can you dread for us?
I don't think, would you rather? Nothing. I think, let's get Kaylin to grow dreads.
I didn't.
I tried it in 8th grade.
In 8th grade, your mom let you do that, huh?
I don't know. I don't remember how that like fully played out.
That convo went down. What led to that? You were just like, it's time for dreads for me.
No, it was like...
Some band member. Somebody she admired had it.
No.
Okay.
It was, I just like, my hair has always been so straight. Mm. And so I wanted like texture or like, I don't know, more fullness in my hair.
Sure. Similar. I think I would do, well, cause like I'm a guy and it's way more popular today to just shave your whole head.
Oh yeah.
And I think maybe I just have to go that route. I don't know what my head, if it's
that
a shape.
That can't be an answer, Natty.
Well, that was what I was going to ask.
Yeah. You gotta have hair.
I still probably would.
You don't have long hair, so.
I probably would go still the hair. I would just wash it once a year wet feet. And, I mean, I'm also a new dad of two little ones. So, like, it's not like I'm washing my hair every day anyway, because it's just like, it's harder to keep up with. I mean, it's just so hard to do all the things of care for yourself when you're also corralling little ones. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the hair.
Yeah, I thought about this a lot because I put this in the notes like several days ago, so it's actually been on my mind. I when you step in something in your house and you immediately go change your socks because you're like, can't take it. But I think I would have to go with the hair thing because I wear hats so much. I could cover up the look of it, but it does not cover up the feeling of dirty hair. Your head gets so itchy when it's dirty in a hat.
It's horrible.
I think I would, the way you would get used to the socks. So I think I'd get used to that, but I just wear so many hats. I just have to find a broader range of hats. And then I could go like hatless for like a week. 8 years ago, I had a group of interns who were obsessed with the like no wash your hair thing. And they all tried it. And it was hilarious to like watch them go through this process of letting their hair get used to not being washed. They all eventually washed their hair is all I'm saying. So it was funny.
I do remember that trend.
That was a big thing.
One thing I was going to jump in and add is Natty, we didn't script the question Natty asked of is Sammy enjoying the internship? So we're very thankful that Sammy answered in the positive. That would have been a wild turn in the episode. Like, destroy you know, it. If I'm being honest here.
they don't let you back out once you start. So I'm stuck here.
Anyway, I think all your answers were wrong for would you rather, because that's a comparison. And we're moving into the topic of, I'm just kidding, I don't actually.
Good segue.
We're moving into the topic of kind of comparison and a little bit like humility, contentment, but really getting into comparison. So here's the leading question for today's episode. Why can't I stop comparing myself to others?
I ask myself this question every single day.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like my mind immediately goes to how much media we see or how much insight we get to so many other people's lives every single day. And I feel like you see that through like commercials or kind of outside media. But I think primarily I notice this in social media. Maybe that's just because I feel like I'm in a generation that is just so like surrounded by social media. But I don't know. I think if we're constantly fed what other people's lives look like, it creates space for curation and kind of people forming what they want you to see from their lives. So I think it can be really easy to see all those things that other people are putting out there, and to take that and think that's like the truth about their life, that they're just living these like crazy lives. They're always happy. They're always going on these crazy trips and all these things that don't necessarily fully depict what it actually looks like.
Yeah, it's interesting. I went the same route. I kind of went to the social media lane because it's just kind of in our face, most of us, right? And the curation idea is interesting because you get like, if you watch, you ever see a day in the life video, and the person starts where the video with them waking up and getting out of bed.
Or but brushing like, their teeth if you're an intern.
But it's
here.
Like, well, here,
so waking up.
Yeah.
But it actually, the thing is, you already woke up and you got up and you set up a camera stand to face you. Then you went back and faked
being
asleep.
Oh, you brushed your hair too and maybe put on mascara.
Yeah, right. So it's like it is curated and we do this. We all kind of can tend to do like we put the best parts of ourselves online. And so, yeah, well, then we're scrolling. And I do think it's interesting when you scroll a social media feed, it's nearly impossible to not compare. And I think we go the two routes. We look at people and we say, oh man, I wish I had their attractiveness, their fitness, their house, their career, their what you name it. Or you go the other route and say, how could they? They're terrible. They're a fool. What they're doing with their life is the wrong way to live. Whatever, right? And you just end up either good or bad comparing. It's kind of a wild deal. And I actually, we are probably more skewing kind of in the negative on comparison for this episode.
Yep.
In that sense. I do want to highlight, though, comparison isn't always necessarily a bad thing. So what I was thinking about is if I look, for example, at Kaylin and I see she's got different gifts as a leader than I have, there's a kind of a couple ways I could go with that. I could look at that and say, I'm terrible, she's great, or she's terrible, I'm great, or whatever. But instead, I could actually look at it and say, wow, what a great gift she has. Mm-hmm. I either could lean into her for help from that or learn from her on that. Or I could just lean into her expertise on it and let her kind of thrive there. But so I can learn almost by watching other leaders who are great at things I'm not. I can either learn and kind of grow like them, or I can just learn from them about how they're wired. So not always necessarily a bad thing. But I think when we get into media, man, it's so hard to not feel like either, yeah, we're better than people or worse. And what a tough way to kind of live.
Our hearts are kind of yucky like that. So, but I'm glad you point that out, Poe, because I think that's actually true. Comparison could lead us to glorifying God, because God did create us with diversity and differences that are beautiful and apart from the fall meant to be appreciated, right? I should love that. I'm excited. If you ultra and I can be there, I'd love to cheer you on, right? Like, and I'm never going to do that. And that's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean I'm not a good person, and it doesn't mean you're a better person, but it's just a cool thing that you could do that with your body. My body would have never done that even in its prime. And so that's neat. But I agree also with the social media. You and I have recently talked about this just in our kind of conversations. It's been interesting to hear a take of somebody who's a lot younger than me on even like social media. And social media is like, you are ingrained with social media. You don't remember there not being social media. And of course, I remember times when I didn't have to be your age with social media. So it's definitely interesting and good to learn from you. My instant thought went to Cain and Abel. Like, boom.
That's in my article.
I was like, that was like, oh, is it? It is like, I thought, man, that's what happened there. Cain didn't live up to his brother's expectations. Mm-hmm. So he killed him. Or not, you know, like he compared himself, and instead of him, you know, like learning from that and wanting to grow, his response was to murder his brother. And you're just like, well, that's where comparison got us, just, you know, right after the fall, on the opposite side of the fall, right? And so I was just like, yeah, there's something in us though that like twists twists everything into being about us. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, Kayla mentioned she has an article. It's on redtreegrace.com, right? Is that the... and where we have... Actually, I also write a couple articles for that. And she wrote on comparison. And so, I made sure to not quote her article for some reason when I was putting this together. I wish I would have thought of that and quoted her. But instead, we have another great quote. And this week's quote comes from an article on the Gospel Coalition by Christina Fox titled "Dare Not Compare." She writes, "The problem with comparing our lives to others can be traced to our hearts that produce the comparison. When we desire the life someone else has, we are saying in our heart that the gifts God has given us just aren't enough. Our discontentment, jealousy, and bitterness points a finger at God and tells him that he has gotten the story of our life wrong and we can write it better." What jumps out at you about this quote?
Yeah, I feel like this makes me think of what you mentioned, Paul, a lot about idolatry, like that whole idea of like, what do you place on your mind that you feel like I'll be okay if I have this thing? Because I feel like that kind of is an indicator that something's taking over your heart. And that's where you're trying to find your identity, which ultimately just like won't satisfy what you're looking for. And that like, the things like you're believing a lie that what you need is outside of Jesus and outside of the gospel. I think in comparing, it can be really easy to believe that lie.
When I read these, when I read this quote, I think about the pointing the finger at God part, right? That pointing the finger at God and us telling him he got the story of our life wrong. And last week we had our second part of our shame kind of double cast. What's the word for that? There's not
no
a good
clue.
Word for that. Okay, we just
two
made it
episodes
up.
Double on cast. One topic.
And we talked about like specific shame narratives, right? And this kind of, when you get to the bottom of the truth statement, the lie here is that God doesn't love me enough, right? If God loved me more, he would know exactly what I need, in quotes, but we would say what I want, and he would give that to me because then my life would be happy. And that's what love equals me being happy, right? So that's the lie here, is that God doesn't love me enough. The bottom lie of the Y letter is God, I don't believe God loves me enough. And so when I see that, I'm like, I can relate with that. I can relate with that. And I might not point my finger at God because of my house or something like that, but I'm going to compare my life to other people. Like, why is my body breaking down in this way or whatever? I'm gonna have those comparisons, and I'm gonna point my finger at God.
When I read this quote, discontentment, jealousy, bitterness, like those feelings are ones that I have felt just like deep down in my core, and I'm just like, oh, I do not like feeling those feelings, and I have to like pause when I'm feeling those, and then be honest with myself and the Lord, and be like, okay. These feelings are popping up. I may or may not know why. And oftentimes, like, we'll have to bring in my husband or close friends just to have them help me see what might be the catalyst of these feelings. And it's not a fun or easy battle. And it's definitely not fun to feel like discontentment and jealousy and bitterness and envy. It just, like, in scripture, I think it's in the Psalms somewhere, it's like it's rotting out our bones. And I like when even just reading those words, but then when I've experienced them, I do like feel that like inner like rotting of my heart.
It's interesting that like this is a weird way to take this, but what a kind of gift from the Spirit though, that you don't stay there. Because it'd be very easy. And I think apart from Christ, we kind of would stay in discontentment, bitterness, jealousy, and never have the feelings of like, no. I don't want to stay in this. I want to believe and trust in God and to then, so not to stay there, but then also to go to others and confess and talk it through and process and ultimately talk it through with God and pray to him about it. What a cool little like thing. We kind of have touched on this because it really does come back to like what we're thinking about who God is. And it really brought to mind, this is kind of the pattern of Genesis 3. So if you're a Bible nerd out there, this is kind of how they sin in Genesis 3. So in Genesis 3, again, early in the Bible, the serpent comes and tempts humanity, tempts them saying, did God really say you can't do this? And then he later says, you know why he's holding back? He knows your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So he kind of inserts the the devil there kind of inserts this idea that God's holding back. God's keeping something from you. He's not being entirely good to you, which we've kind of touched on already, that there's something being held back. That's actually the first sin. And it kind of, we see this pattern then play out when we're in comparison. We say, God, I like what she says. You're not writing the right story for my life, God. I can write it better. And then we go into control because we feel like we can't trust God and he's holding something back. And so that's where so what do we think though then? We kind of touched on it, but why is this so insidious?
I mean, you nailed it with I went to Cain and Abel and you one-upped me with the,
just,
with the Adam and Eve.
Deeper into
when you see that, like you're like, well, you know, nothing really changes, right? We're caught in sin and we are inherently, you know, apart from God, we're inherently selfish people, I guess. Like sin gets in us and it makes us want to twist something good. The difference between the creator and the creation is good. Like, and Adam and Eve lived in a place where their life was perfect and there was a difference there and they could probably have seen it, like, but it didn't matter to them because they were living in perfect harmony with God until somebody points out there's a difference. And then they're like, well, maybe
that is better.
That is better. Wow. Right. And so it's just like, you can just see how they took something that is good. The created is not the same as the creator. And it's good. It's good. We like the example would be people that are like, well, I don't believe in God because I don't understand. And I'd be like, do you really want to worship a God you understand? Completely a God. That means you're as smart as God. Would you really want to worship a God that you're smarter than? Or you're as smart as, and you're like, no, I want my God to be smarter. I want my God to have more control, be smarter, love me better than I can love myself. But at that point, you're like, no, I'm gonna be like the creator. I want to be like God, right? And so you see that happening all the time. Sorry, you were going to say something. You can interrupt us. You're so, Sammy's a very nice person. She doesn't seem like much of an interrupter. So go ahead.
Thanks. I also just think of I feel like I go down this rabbit hole a lot. Like once I maybe compare one thing about one person, it might be something so small, like their sweatshirt or something so small. And then I feel like that leads me to be like, oh, they have this sweatshirt. Maybe they like can get that sweatshirt and I can't, or maybe they are more like, they have more resources than me. Maybe they're more blessed than I am. Maybe God cares about them more. And I feel like even just one small thing can lead to this spiral that makes you believe so many lies about who God is and who Jesus is that just aren't true. So I feel like comparison can be really dangerous in that way because it can lead to these bigger lies, and just lead you so far from what the gospel really is.
It's funny that a sweatshirt can get under our skin that much, right?
Anything. Yeah, it is wild.
Well, but if you want this sweatshirt that I'm wearing, all you have to do is then do an internship.
Merch.
So, yep.
I think comparison is happening all the time and we don't even notice it. And so like, it could be you're comparing the sweatshirt, you're comparing the shoes, you're comparing what project they might be working on compared to what you are, their work status, their relationships with people, and like just even the things we do and don't have. And so I just truly think like it is happening in our minds all the time, whether we realize it or not, because then it depends on like what feelings it might produce within us. Mm-hmm. Like, does it stop at, oh, I really like their sweatshirt, you know, or like then does it keep going down a rabbit hole?
Yeah, we can't just appreciate the sweatshirt. We have to consider what their sweatshirt means to us, because I'm sure when they put that sweatshirt on, they were like, this is about you, not me. Yeah. When I put this on, I wanted Kaylin to, you already have the sweatshirt.
I do.
Sorry. Okay.
All right. Well, so, I mean, it is wild when we think about how insidious this is. So there has to be some sort of hope. There has to be a way to think through this practically. So again, the goal of the podcast is to help imperfect leaders like us and you to grow. So what are some practical ways that an imperfect leader can grow in their fight against comparison?
I was thinking about this passage. It's from Luke 12 when it talks about considering the lilies, or how the grass is like clothed. How much more will God like clothe you? I love that passage because if I believe the Bible to be true and that God is good, then I know that reading that, like, God will supply everything that I need. And if I sit in that and I just let myself think through that scripture, I feel like that provides so much more peace than anything else can provide. So for me, I think coming back to God and God's word is so helpful. Just even finding a couple passages that in my comparison, I can go back to and recognize like, this is the truth that God will provide everything that I need. And I don't need to look towards other people to find that. I think for me, that provides the most sense of peace.
That's awesome. Yeah, that idea of like fighting lies with truth. Mm. Fighting to believe the truth about God. So again, going back to that first sin in the garden, they forgot or they started to believe that God was holding back. And I think when we're doing comparison, we're seeing that too. So instead to see, no, God is never holding back. He's given us everything we need. He will give us everything we need. That's really good. Other thoughts?
Something that someone had challenged me with shortly after I became a believer was like, writing down three things I'm thankful for every day, which sounds like, okay, just make a list of thankfulness, da, 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 da. But I really do think it's helpful because then you're actually seeing the ways that the Lord has provided for you versus seeing the ways he hasn't or like what you feel you might be lacking. But instead like praising God and celebrating and thanking him for, look what you have provided me. And I feel so thankful that I have this comfy sweatshirt or I don't know, whatever it might be. And then I think another thing that can help is just honesty. It's very hard to be honest. Like for me, when I'm feeling discontentment or envy or jealousy, or I can't remember what other words were in that, bitterness, I don't want to share that with anybody. Mm-hmm. Like those are just like icky feelings, and for like hurt or like close friends to know that those are the like emotions going on in my heart, I'm like, I do not want to tell you that, but I have to because it is rotting me from the inside out.
Yeah, I love those things. The one thing that came to my mind was thankfulness. And I think Paul, your initial remarks still just rattling around my head of like, we've turned something that could be really good, that could really just really highlight God's like awesome creation into something that's bad. We've weaponized it. And that's what sin is, right? We've weaponized things like that. And it made me think of Romans 1:21. And at the beginning of Romans, the author Paul is really trying to explain what sin is. And he writes, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling man and birds and animals and creeping things." It's this idea that they didn't honor God or give him thanks that like brought them down. They knew God, but they didn't honor God or give him thanks. And I think when we're tempted to compare, we could somehow, you know, like, tell ourselves the gospel truth of who God is and the beauty of his creation and how God, you know, now sees us. I guess we're being compared to Jesus and God saying equal. And we can just rejoice in the things that we don't have. So when I see a unique gift in CME or a cool sweatshirt on Kaylin or whatever, I can just be thankful for that and praise God for giving somebody else that insight that Paul, you just helped me with, instead of being jealous that I didn't think of that when I was preparing for the show. I can just be thankful that you did. And so I think really focusing on giving thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. I just had a couple, in addition to the contentment and thankfulness, which we've all kind of hit on. There's a similar, also in Romans. On Romans chapter 12, it almost seems like a throwaway verse, but the Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep." And I think when you think about comparison, typically it makes it hard to rejoice with others who rejoice. Mm-hmm. I didn't get that degree. I don't have that car. I don't have that house. But also we kind of go the other route and say, oh, you're suffering. You're weeping. You probably did something to deserve it. I didn't do that thing you did to deserve it. And I think the gospel levels that. And says like, no, what we've touched on, I can actually be thankful for what God's done for others because I remember what he's done for me. And I also can look at others who are suffering and I don't look down on them because I remember what God has done for me and how he's cared for me through those times. And then lastly, I just want to close with this idea. When we're thinking about oftentimes when we're dealing with comparison, it's we're not trusting God and his goodness. And Elizabeth Elliot has a quote, I'm paraphrasing it here, but she says, it's precisely when things don't make sense that we actually trust God to be God. And so especially when we're thinking about comparison or like life not making sense.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Yeah, precisely when things don't make sense that we can trust God to be God, right? So we want to understand everything. We want to control. We want to know. But it's actually when we don't know, when we don't have control, and we're looking around comparing our lives to others and saying they have it better. God doesn't understand the story he's writing for me, so I'll write it. That's actually when we actually can trust God to be God. He knows what he's doing. He knows what's best for me. And I can trust that he's going to do it. And like Sammy said, provide for my needs. Well, that wraps up our conversation for today. But we want to keep connecting with you. So thank you for listening to the podcast. And if you like what you heard, be sure to follow our show and leave a review. We love connecting with our listeners. So if you have questions, comments, or topic ideas, please email us ldi@hopecc.com. LDI is a ministry of Hope Community Church based in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We seek to develop leaders in their biblical thinking, Christ-like character, and ministry skills for service both inside and outside the church. We do this through internships, classes, seminars, and retreats. If you're interested in learning more about our internships or other opportunities, visit ldi.hopecc.com or email ldi@hopecc.com. Have a great week.